The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let the congregation be seated. Our reading today concludes with the words from Jesus. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. My wife, Laura Lee, has a social life that I'm envious of. You see, she is invited to parties. Every week there seems to be a new party she is invited to. But I am invited to none. She is invited to parties to celebrate candles. She is invited to parties to celebrate Tupperware. She is invited to parties to celebrate kitchen tools. She is invited to parties to celebrate spices. She is invited to parties to celebrate costume jewelry. She is invited to parties to celebrate makeup. She is invited to parties to celebrate cleaning products. Now, I'm not sure what happens at these parties, but I've tried to glean a little info. Apparently, all the women, it seems that men are not invited, so I appreciate Tupperware, costume jewelry, cleaning products, makeup. Nevertheless, it would seem then around 7:30 on a Thursday night, a multitude of women gather around in a rec room or a family room. Coffee is poured, dainties are offered, a few laughs are shared, and then out comes a display case. The Tupperware, the jewelry, the spices, the cleaning products, and there's a demonstration of how effective the product is, how beautiful the jewelry is, how well the Tupperware works. And then the sales pitch is made, the orders are placed, and in a few short weeks, the new product shows up. Marketers know this is one of the most effective ways to sell your product. If I see someone on TV telling me that their plastic container, their age-defying makeup, their all-purpose scrubbing pad, you name it, is the best, that it will radically transform my life, that it will take away my problems, that it will give me a happy, carefree existence, if I see that person on TV, I am inclined not to believe him or her. They are paid pitchmen. They're spokespeople. It is their job to convince me to part with my money, to seek happiness in the wares that they are selling. But if my friend invites me over, if my friend trades on their friendship to improve my life by selling me that container, that makeup, that perfume, that scented candle, then odds are I will feel inclined we're obligated to buy that product. We trust those who we know. We trust those who we have established friendships with. We trust those who we work with, who we sit beside in church, who is our neighbor, our sister-in-law, our family member. We trust those people. When they tell us that something works, we are inclined to believe them. We are inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt. And so our cupboards are filled with all sorts of things that in hindsight we probably could have lived without. Today, Christ, St. Paul, even Moses from Leviticus tell us that as we go into the world, just as the Mary Kay lady takes her pink Cadillac into the world, as the Tupperware person takes their goods into the world, as the party light person takes their candles into the world and rec rooms and living rooms of others, we, as people of faith, the Jews before us and now us as Christians, take God into the world. We go into the world and we make our product known. And our product is God. We sit down with others, and just like the person selling the candle or the spices or the cleaning mop, we try and bestow the benefits of God to the lives of others. What does your faith mean to you? How does what you believe improve your life? And people are inclined to believe the testimony, to believe the words of someone they trust, someone they work with, a family member, a neighbor, a friend, a confidant. For we would not risk our relationship, our friendship, by trying to sell a false bill of goods, by trying to sell a false God or a false reality. But how do we show God to people? The candles we can light, and we can smell the effervescent potpourri filling the room. The jewelry we can try on and ooh and ah at. The spices we can taste in a lovely cream cheese dip. The mop we can take out to the kitchen floor. The rag we can use on the window. But how do we show God to people? We show God to people where the rubber hits the road. It is not a contrived existence. We cannot pull God out and do a demonstration. We cannot pray like Moses for the Red Sea to part. But what we can do is display God in our lives. And where the rubber hits the road for us is in the places of injustice. The places of injustice. And for that, Christ gives us a map. We often think of injustice as some third world issue. Starving children in Tanzania. Women subjugated in Middle Eastern countries. But injustice exists wherever we feel that we have been given a poor shake. Injustice exists when we feel that our health, maybe a bad back, has besotted us for no good reason. Injustice hits when we feel that a friendship has collapsed through no fault of our own. Injustice hits when we lose a job or find ourselves in economic peril. Injustice hits when a relationship breaks down, when a husband and wife find themselves in enmity. Injustice exists where two neighbors are fighting over their fence. Injustice is a human condition. And how we approach injustice, how we work to find justice, how we work to find and build reconciliation, tell people about what we believe. It is in those times that we take God out, that we show people what difference God makes. to our lives. What being a Christian means for you. How you approach the hard times of life. The injustice of death. The injustice of sickness. The injustice of sorrow. The injustice of despair. Shows people what God means to you. And to this end, St. Paul in today's reading says, our foundation must always be Christ. And that is a foundation of love. A foundation which we make decisions from. Our starting point is love. How do we approach our neighbor? How do we approach the person we're arguing with? How do we approach the person who we believe has wronged us? How do we approach the person who has broken our car window, broken into our home, spray painted our fence, you name it? How do we approach that person? The starting point, according to Paul, is always love. In the Gospels, in our reading today, Christ takes this same idea and magnifies it and amplifies it. Christ is not saying to Christians that we are doormats to the world, that we should just be steamrolled over. Christ is speaking in allegory here. If someone steals your coat because they need it, give them your underwear. If someone hits you because they're angry at you, offer the other cheek. In other words, give them a second opportunity. Don't just apply back with equal force. Don't cock back your right arm, but offer them the other cheek. Work to find forgiveness first. Christ is saying, don't escalate violence. Don't escalate stereotypes. Don't escalate anger. But work to end those things. Work to take any moment as a starting point to work not for anger, not for retribution, not for retaliation, but take that exact moment, that moment of injustice, to work for love. Change the story. Do a course correction. Change the outcome. Because anger multiplied by anger or violence multiplied by violence will always equal the same. More anger and more violence and ultimately more injustice. Christ says that is not the Christian way. That is not the way that we, a people of God, are to present ourselves. We should show the world that our faith, that our belief in God's word means something. And that means we are freed from lives of injustice. It does not mean that we will never be sick, that we'll never be stereotyped, that we'll never suffer poverty or hunger or sadness or wrongdoing. What it means is that we are free to change the course. We are free not to look for more anger, not to look for more despair, not to look for more depression, not to look for someone else to blame, but rather to always look for love, for renewal, for new life. Where is God taking us? We know where the world wants to take us. But where does God want to take us? Where does God want to take our relationships? Christ says, big deal, you get along with those you like. Big deal, you get along with those who will help you. Big deal, you pray for those who you love. That tells the world nothing about God. Christ says the sinner, the tax collector, likes his own family, likes his own friends, likes his own boss. But how do you feel about those who wrong you? How do you feel about those who have stereotyped you, typecast you, injured you? How do you feel about them and how do you approach them? This is what separates you. Christ is basically saying, you are not judged by how you treat your friends. You are judged by how you treat your enemies. Further in Scripture, Christ will take that same idea and say to us as a church, you are not judged by how you treat the best amongst you. You are not judged by how you treat your membership. You are judged by how you treat the least amongst you. You are judged by how you treat the outcast. for helping someone that can help me, for serving someone that can return the favor and serve me. I am only doing myself a good deed. But for helping the outcast, the foreigner, the poor, the lowly, the despised, then I'm really doing the work of God. For I am helping someone with no expectation of gain. I am helping someone with no thought of improving my standing or my life. I am simply helping because that is what I'm called to do. The good news of the Bible is we are not stuck. We are not stuck seeking vengeance. We are not stuck seeking retribution. We are not stuck trying to right all the wrongs of the world. But we are called to create a new reality for us and for those that we are in community with. Rather than our first thoughts always being about ourselves, how we've been injured, how we've been wronged, how our rights have been abused, how we've been mistreated, our first thoughts can be about love, the love of others and the love of our world. And in this point, the aggression, the anger, does not multiply. It is not an eye for an eye. That just leaves two blind men. It is not a hand for a hand. That just leaves two cripples. It is not a tooth for a tooth. That just leaves two trips to the dental office. But rather we stop at one eye. We stop at one hand. We stop at one tooth. Recognizing that if I lose my eye and I take my neighbor's eye, we're both blind and neither of us are better off. If I lose my hand and I take my neighbor's hand, we are both infirm and neither of us are really better off. If I lose my tooth and my neighbor loses his tooth, we're both eating pudding, but neither of us are better off. But if I can take that moment of injustice and I can create a relationship, a friendship, a bond built not on retribution, but built on love, then I have changed my life and I have changed the life of someone else. And that is the good news of our reading today. Amen.